This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
But I want to talk to you about promises of God, promises kept and promises broken for this reason. Twice in the book of Joshua, Joshua talks about promises. The first time is earlier in the book where he talks about God keeping his promises to a prostitute, a woman by the name of Rahab, who made a deal with the spies that came into the land. If you will protect my family to the city of Jericho, I will offer you help. And they made a promise to her, you help us and we will protect your family. And God honored that promise and her whole family was spared when the city of Jericho was taken. The promise was kept. Today we're going to study a second time in Joshua where Joshua says not one of God's promises to his people failed, which is an interesting thing. Can you say that about your promises? No. Can I say that about my promises that I've made to people over the years? No, neither can you. But not one of God's promises failed. How much of your life is based on your results of what's happened in your life because of promises that were kept, promises that were broken? All of your life is based on promises. Some of you are here today and you have been the victim of one broken promise after another from somebody close to you, perhaps. It may have been a parent. It may have been a spouse. It may have been an ex-spouse. It may have been a coworker where promises were made and promises were broken. And to this day, you're impacted negatively by the broken promises of people. But also you're blessed by promises that have been kept. Where somebody kept their word and 5 years later they said, I want to keep a promise to you. And they did something to indicate the fulfillment of that promise. What we're going to do is read the scripture in Joshua, where Joshua talks about the promises of God. And then I'm going to share with you not 4 points, but 4 promises out of scripture. People in the first service said this really spoke to them today in a powerful way. I hope it will to you. But let's read Joshua 21. We're preaching through the book of Joshua. We're in the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers. And they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. Not one of all God's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I want to talk about an incidental detail. It won't come up on the screen. But Joshua says that the Lord gave them the land. And there's an interesting addition to that in the book of Exodus. It says the Lord gave them the land little by little, which I find intriguing. Sometimes God gives you something in life over a period of months or years. Sometimes God releases a blessing in your life, and it's not all at once, but it's over stages in your life. And as you look back, you realize that God released that blessing a little bit at a time, or a portion at this moment when I needed it, and then this portion when I needed it. God does that because He's sovereign. It's at His timetable. I'm always amazed at people like me and you who say, God, give me something and give it to me now. Give it to me yesterday. Give it to me right now when God has a timetable for releasing His blessings and gifts to us in our lives. I think it's interesting that the Lord not only gave them the land, He gave them victory, but He gave them rest. I love that verse, though, verse 44. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their forefathers. Do you know what that means? You ever had a time of turmoil in your life? It may be in the family, it could be at work, it could be anywhere. And then you go through a season of rest and you say, you know, we're experiencing peace right now. It's good. What I want to do today, as I said earlier, is share 4 promises with you out of the Bible. Let's bring up the first one from 2 Corinthians 1:20 that says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen, another title for Jesus, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Paul in Corinthians says any promises that were made by God are answered positively, yes, by Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this. Have you ever heard a man talk about his wife and he says, you know, if there's anything good in my life, I owe it all to my wife. I've heard men over the years say that. Sometimes a woman will say, if there's anything good in my life, and I've only heard one or two women say this in 30 years, but only one or two women have said, if there's anything good in my life, it's because of my husband. But let me tell you this, if there's anything good in your life spiritually, it's because of Christ. All the promises of God are answered with a yes by Jesus Christ. Had a college student years ago say, why do you Christians, he obviously wasn't a believer, he said, why do you Christians focus so much in Christianity on Jesus? And I said, because it all starts with Him, it all continues with Him, and it all ends with Him. Everything, that He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the end from the beginning. He's all of it. And that's why Jesus is so important. I shared this parenthetically in the first service. You get somebody that comes to your door, wants to talk something religious. You have a coworker, a friend, a relative that wants to talk about something spiritual. The first thing that I do in every conversation, I don't want to talk about your literature. I don't want to talk about what you believe about 87 different things. I want to know first and foremost, what do you believe about Jesus? You know why? Nothing else matters. If what they believe about Jesus isn't the truth. Nothing else matters if what they believe about Jesus Christ is something other than what's taught in Scripture. It all comes down to Jesus Christ and His promises. And Paul said, all the promises of God, regardless of how many they are answered with a yes in Jesus Christ. Here's my point. The standard for anything to do with your faith and your future is Jesus Christ. Judge everything about a religion. What do they think of Jesus? Judge everything about somebody's personal belief. What do you think of Christ? Who is He? And if somebody says, well, He was the greatest teacher that ever lived, that's not enough for me. He didn't claim to be the greatest teacher that ever lived. Well, He was the greatest role model that ever lived. Jesus never claimed to be the greatest role model for your children that ever lived. He said He was God. He said, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. That is the most incredible claim of Jesus in my thinking. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If that's true, then everything that we need to know about God the Father we find in the Son. All the promises of God are answered in Christ with a yes. Let's bring up a second promise. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. That's such a simple statement, but it's such a radical statement that you need to believe that anything to do with your eternity is connected with Christ. What did He promise us? Eternal life. You need to know this. You may have people in your life that you think are crucial to your career moves. Those people are important. And they may be important in your life. You may have people educationally in your life that are important to you. But anything that's connected with eternity is connected to Jesus Christ. He has promised us eternal life. And isn't it amazing that the one who says, I'm the one who gives eternal life, is the one that people avoid? They don't have anything to do with Him. They don't want to talk about Him. And yet He's the one who's promised us eternal life. It is all in Jesus Christ. He's the standard. Why would you plan for 40 years of your life and then totally neglect your eternity? What good is it, the Bible says, for a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul in the process? And it's a great rhetorical question. What difference does it make if we have everything our little heart could desire for 40, 50, 60 years and then some? And then the moment we die, we don't realize that it's an eternity with Christ or without Him. The most important moment in your life is when you realize that eternity is connected to Jesus Christ. Everything about forever is connected to Him. Remember that promise. Let's bring up a third promise. I love this one because this is a passage of Scripture that many people said in the first service, I never knew this was in the Bible. I love this passage from Isaiah. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. If we could back up and bring that first slide up again about the first part of the verse. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Who are the blind? You. Me. Do you know why you're blind and why I'm blind? We don't know the future. Did you know everything that was going to happen in the last 5 years of your life 10 years ago? No. Did you have it all figured out, everything that was going to happen in the last 5 years, 20 years ago? No. We're blind to the future. And the Lord says in Isaiah, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them. Do you know what that means? God reveals light ahead of us so that we can see the next step. And then he reveals a little more light so we can see the next step. And all of life is a journey on a path that is lit by God the Father. You got to believe that, that your life is not an accident, that the steps you take are not an accident, but someone's turning on the lights as you go. Another light comes on, another light comes on. And God is leading the blind, people like you and me. Sometimes a disappointment in your life is actually God's appointment. Remember that. Sometimes a disappointment in your life, and everybody has disappointments, is a God's appointment in your life. My point is this, that's a promise of God for you to believe, accept, or reject. Choose. Decide to believe that God is willing and capable and wants to lead you in your life in paths that you don't know, and he'll reveal the light as you need it along the way. It's a powerful promise of Scripture. There's one more I want to talk about. It's this promise from Psalm 73:24. I love the simplicity of it. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Lord, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you take me into glory. The psalm writer is saying this. All of life can be summarized in this one sentence. God guides me through life with his counsel, and then after it's all over, he takes me into glory. What a statement. Yesterday, Ann and I were at an old cemetery in Cincinnati, on the northeast side of Cincinnati, and we were walking through the old stones, and I saw the beautiful statements on those old tombstones, and this would be a great statement. You counsel me all through my life, and afterward you take me into glory. That's the summary statement of your life as a believer. And you've got to believe that the hand of God is on your life to counsel you all through your life. Remember, the Bible in James says God freely gives wisdom to every person who deserves it? No. He gives wisdom to every person who works for it? No. God gives wisdom to the man or woman who asks for it. That's it. You ask for wisdom and God says, I'll give it to you. Ravi Zacharias said, when I was a teenager growing up in India, I really wasn't doing very well. I was failing at everything. For those of you that know my story, he says, you know that failure was written large on my life. My dad basically looked at me and said, you know, Ravi, you're going to be a huge embarrassment to the family. One failure after another. And he was right, given the way I was headed. I was looking for an escape. I wanted to get out of everything I was setting my hand to. I lacked discipline. During this time, India was at war with a neighboring country. I'm assuming he's talking about Pakistan. And the military academy was looking for pilots to be trained. So I applied and went to be interviewed for this. It was an overnight train journey from the city of Delhi. It was wintertime. It gets cold in the northern part of our country. We were outside freezing in the cold air for about 5 days as we went through physical endurance tests and other kinds of tests. Get this, there were 300 applicants for 10 positions. Imagine the competition. 300 people were applying to be pilots for 10 positions that were open. On the last day, they put their selection of names out on a board. I was positioned number 3. I phoned my family and said, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to make it. I'm number 3. The only thing that's left is the interview. The psychological testing is tomorrow. I'll take that and then I'll be home. The next morning, I began my interview with the chief commanding officer, who looked to me like Churchill sitting across the table. He asked me question after question. Then he leaned forward and said, son, I'm going to break your heart today. Can you imagine being told that? I'm going to break your heart today. I wondered what he was going to say. He continued, Ravi, I'm going to reject you as a pilot. I'm not going to pass you in this test. May I ask you why, sir? Yes, psychologically, you are not wired to kill. You are not wired to kill, and this job is about killing. This job is about killing. Inside of me, Ravi said, I felt like I was on the verge of wanting to prove him wrong right there and then. Some of you will get that later. But I knew better, both for moral reasons and for his size. So I went back to my room. I didn't talk to anybody. I packed my bags, got on the train, and arrived in Delhi. Now, his parents think he's made it. My parents and friends were waiting on the platform at the railroad station with flowers and gifts to congratulate me. No one ever knew at that moment. I thought to myself, how can I handle this? Where do I even begin? They were celebrating, and yet for me, it was all over, or so I thought. Now listen to one more paragraph. Had I been selected, I would have had to commit 20 years to the Indian Air Force. It was the very next year that my father had an opportunity to move to Canada. My brother and I moved there at the first installment, and the rest of them followed. It was there I was in business school in Canada, and God redirected my path to theological training. It was there I met Margie, and there my whole life changed. The rest is history. Had I been in the Indian Air Force, who knows what thread I would have pulled to wreck the fabric. And then he goes on to say this, the hand of God was over his hand. And he was planning his life and said, I'm number three, position number three on the pilot's list. I'm going to be a pilot in the Indian Air Force. And God said, no, I've got another plan for you, Ravi. And what was a disappointment to him turned out to be God's appointment for his life, which is a word for somebody in this room today. Well, I hope that is a word for you today. From Joshua, the 21st chapter, as we're talking about the promises of God. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. We'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in tomorrow. And then it says he'll take me into glory. What does that mean? That you never, listen carefully, this is really important, you never have a moment where you are out of the hand of God. The hand of God is on your life, he's counseling you, you die, and then he takes you into glory. The Bible in the New Testament makes an inference that the angels are involved in taking people or escorting people to heaven. I like that thought myself. You don't die alone. Even the person who dies alone doesn't die alone, because the Gospels imply that the angels of heaven actually escort the person to the presence of God. When you read the parable of Lazarus, that is intimated strongly, that the angels of God are involved in our death. Let me close with this story. Some of you are fans of Chuck Swindoll. You listen to him on the radio, or you have over the years, you've read his books. He talks about the loss of his father, the death of his father. He said, last night I said goodbye, and I'm still trying to believe it. You'd think it would be easy since his illness persisted for more than 3 years. How well I remember the Sunday he suffered that first in a series of strokes right while I was preaching. God granted him several more years to teach many of us to appreciate the things that we tend to take for granted. My father leaves in his legacy a well-marked Bible that I treasure, a series of feelings that I need to deepen my roots, and my father leaves 1,000 memories that comfort me as I replace denial with acceptance and praise. I await the opening of heaven's gate in the not-too-distant future. So do other Christians who await Christ's return. Most of them anticipate hearing the soft strum of a harp or the staccato blast of a trumpet, not me. I will hear the nostalgic whine of a harmonica, held in the hands of a man who died last night. Or did he? The memories are as fresh as the morning sunrise. What was it that gave Chuck Swindoll hope in the midst of losing his father? One word, promise. Promise. You will counsel me all through my life, and then you take me to glory. He's the one who gives us eternal life. All the promises of God are answered with an affirmative in Christ Jesus. The Lord says, I'll lead the blind in paths that they can't even imagine. I'll give them light as they go away. Here's your choice today. Believe in yourself or believe the promises of God. Here's your choice today. Believe in the system or believe in the promises of God. Here's your choice. Believe in everything that man can do or believe in everything God has done and will do in the future. Everything in life boils down to promises kept and promises broken. Joshua said, not one of the Lord's good promises failed. Not one of them failed. That's true for the four that I read. It's true for the four that I read, that the Lord wants to counsel you, guide you, and then do what? Take you to glory to be with Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the word today. What a powerful lesson from Joshua, that not one of your good promises failed. And that's true with the promises we claim today, that all of the promises are answered with an affirmative in Christ. That you do promise us eternal life. That you do offer guidance and wisdom in our lives. You light our path. You lead the blind. That's every man, every woman, every young person in this room. We're all blind without you. Remind us of that today. And also the bottom line is you counsel us and then you take us to glory. That's the summary statement of life and death. Lord, if there are people that need to come in this service to give their lives to you, I pray for your blessing, your empowerment upon their lives to come and make that decision public. If people need prayer, whatever the needs are, bless people as they come.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.